Wisely, you know, and I don't want to knock him, but maybe for his baseball, it should be Brett Dumbley. He has been picked off more than anybody, and the guy never really plays, but he got picked off twice last year. He got picked off in the second game. Their pitching, guys, is not the issue. The Devers deal had to be done. They gave up 7 runs in 3 games. I mean, we just are so devastatingly bad offensively. It is. That woman was right, except that I disagree with the pitching. The pitching is fine. But, you know, every team scores 5 runs, 6 runs, 7. How are we supposed to beat Arizona? Are we going to stop Arizona and hold them to three runs a game? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's disturbing. And Adames, Devers is, you know, Devers, I keep, you know, he's going to hit. He's got a proven track. And Adames, too, I thought he'd be picking it up by now. But you're right. They pull when they should be going the other way. Lee, you know, when you think about contracts, guys, obviously Adames at this point a bust. Is Lee going to be a bust?
I think he is. I hate to say it. He's a great defensive player, but offensively he's terrible.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah. No, it hasn't looked good.
He's pulled. Ever since I brought this up to you guys, have you guys noticed it? Like, he tries to pull everything. He's lunging all the time.
Well, and his stance doesn't help him when it comes to that stuff, or the way he swings.
Look,
the way
you're going to lunge, but you slap the other way a little, yeah, I'm okay with it. Just try a bunt.
Bunt, yeah.
Just try it. You okay? No, he's so... Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting some different kind of result.
Well, what can they change right now? Like, what do you think they need to do, Joe? Like, how could Bob Melvin, and we'll talk to Bob Brenly, former manager,
honestly,
about,
you know what I would do?
An hour and a half at 8:30.
I would come up with a phantom injury. This is going to sound, you know, player union anti, but I would come up with a phantom injury. I would put Jung Woo Lee on the 7-day IL. I'm dead serious on this. I would call up one of the outfielders you have in the minors and either move Yastrzemski to center or play Grant McCrary in center. Try Marco Luciano. Try something. You need a jolt right now. Did you know that Christian Koss was going to be the jolt that they needed? Did you know that Casey Schmidt was going to be the jolt? Baseball's weird. Sometimes you call somebody up and they ball out. I don't know. And look, the guy that we're not talking about as well is the catching position, which I've been talking about all year. Wow. You guys could talk about pitch framing and how great his framing is and this, that, the other. You got to hit a little. And Bailey's had a couple of decent clutch hits, but they need more hitting. And if that means bringing in random catchers like Austin Barnes, who they signed, who's an 11-year veteran, I'm here for it.
Well, I sent some screenshots and some videos over the weekend from a certain catcher in Atlanta who's been balling out in the home run. One Sean Murphy.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Braves are 8 games back right now.
I'd take Hector Sanchez back, for crying out loud.
Sanchez? Bringing him back?
The worst defensive catcher I've ever seen.
I liked Hector Sanchez.
Guy would break his thumb on every other play, John.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco. An Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. By the way, we will touch on some Warriors today. A lot happening starting today at 3 o'clock West Coast time. Free agency is upon us. What will the Warriors do, and what will Jonathan Kuminga do going forward? That's going to be the jumping off point for a lot of discussion here. JK, is he going? Is he staying? What's going on with JK in Golden State? We'll discuss that. Plus LeBron James. I know. LeBron. God, we've been talking about the guy for the last 20-plus years. But he actually said something. He didn't say anything. Rich Paul, his agent, said something yesterday that makes me feel like he truly is going to leave the Lakers. Like, this one feels like, okay, he's going to be moving on somewhere. Could the Warriors be sniffing around LeBron James? Do you want the Warriors sniffing around LeBron James? I know Dunleavy said, yeah, $50 million players, probably not going to do that. Well, if LeBron James out there to be had, can you finagle something? Can you move the numbers around to bring the king to the Bay? King number 2, by the way, because we know the real king is, you know, he's here. He's our king, Bonte Hills, who joins us every Friday in the 9 o'clock hour. But LeBron James could be out there. So that might be the big domino.
You open the door, so I'm just going to...
Yes, I open the door. Yeah.
On LeBron James. This guy, I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate pivot, don't panic. LeBron is so ridiculous. No, like, he really is. And here's... A week ago, he's on a podcast talking about, you know, I mean, I don't, who created ring culture? You did. I don't understand why we judge everyone by rings. This is a week ago. This is LeBron, not me, not Joe Shasky. Oh, this is LeBron.
I know, you yelled at all of us because of the whole conversation.
It was all because of him, all right? And then Shams comes out with an article, and I'm paraphrasing, basically saying, like, LeBron doesn't think there's enough around him to win a championship.
You want it right here? This is what Rich Paul told ESPN, quote, and this is the, obviously, Clutch Sports CEO, very tight with LeBron. Quote, LeBron wants to compete for a championship.
Oh, of course he does.
He knows the Lakers are building for the future. He understands that. But he values a realistic chance of winning it all. We are very appreciative of the partnership that we've had for 8 years with Jeannie and Rob and consider the Lakers a critical part of his career. That feels like it's night-night on LeBron and La La Land.
So, I have a new nickname for LeBron. It's not the king. He's the locust. Like, this is what this guy does. He goes to an organization. He sucks all the draft capital and trades every player for just himself and his particular in the moment. We're going to do everything for me because I'm going to take everything. I'm a grasshopper. And then what I'm going to do, the second I look around and I see that there's zero future because we have no draft capital and I've traded everyone and I don't think we can win, I'm going to hop over to this lawn and I'm going to locust suck everything over here. I'm going to go to Miami. I'm going to do that. And then we're done in Miami. Chris Bosh is done. Dwayne Wade's knees exploded. All right, let me suck back on over to Cleveland because they've got their draft capital back. And let's trade everyone away. And I'm going to locust everything over here. And I'm going to suck all the life out of Cleveland. We're done winning titles here. Kyrie left me high and dry. Kevin Love stinks now. I'm going to go to LA. I'm at LA. And I'm going to locust everything out of LA. And then I need to have Anthony Davis. Anthony, you're part of Clutch. I want you to demand a trade. You're only going to come here. We're going to trade everything away to get Anthony Davis, and we're going to cry and whine the entire time until we make it happen because New Orleans better deal with us. And then he sucks the life out of everything that happens with LA. They win one Mickey Mouse ring, one little like bubble ring that they wouldn't have won if there wasn't 3 months of time off. And then now, after he gets Luka, now when there's zero chance that you're going to win anything significant, he's going to locust his way on out and grasshop to the next lawn? Give me a break. The king? This guy is the ultimate locust. And I'm telling you right now, he needs to be exterminated. I'm done talking LeBron. I'm done. I don't want him in Golden State. I don't want to hear about him. I hope he goes as far to the east as possible with his tail between his legs. I don't want to ever hear about LeBron ever again. This guy's a fraud. I'm sick of him.
It only took 1 year.
Sports, man.
It only took 1 year. A year ago this time, you were doing everything and everything to get him here in a Golden State Warriors uniform. We got the Cali Classic coming up this weekend where Bronny was supposed to make his debut, but he didn't. And you were all in. Bring Bronny, bring LeBron. And now all of a sudden a year in which, by the way, LeBron was still a top 10 player in the NBA last year. He was incredible. You don't want him? You don't think he'd help this Golden State Warriors team right now? I'd take him in a heartbeat if I'm a Warriors fan. 888-957-9570. LeBron's on the move. Dub Nation. You want him? You want him in a Golden State Warriors uniform? Joe Shasky says he's done. He's a locust. He doesn't want him at all. I'd listen. I'd make the call.
I am so exhausted with him spamming the entire sports media world to create narratives that don't exist.
I mean,
only in the locust's head. It's only in the locust, LeBron the locust head, do these narratives exist. I am so exhausted by how he makes everyone do mental gymnastics to try to come up with some BS to justify every move he's ever made. How about you just shut up, ride it out, they traded and or whatever, they drafted your kid, be a little bit humble and grateful that they gave your kid the biggest second-round guaranteed contract in the history of the NBA when everyone knows your kid should have stayed in college a couple of years, all right? Because you're one of the great players of all time, they did you a favor, why don't you pipe down, shut the hell up, stop taking max money if you want to compete, if that's what you truly want to do, take a little less off top, take a haircut, I know you're going bald, but take a haircut, all right? Take a little less off top, shut the hell up, be a little humble, be a little grateful, and look around the room and say, hey, you know what? I've had a pretty freaking incredible career, all right? And if that's not good enough, then just go away. Just go away. We're tired of you. Take JJ with you.
More from Rich Paul talking about it. Quote, we understand the difficulty in winning now while preparing for the future. We do not want to evaluate what's best for LeBron at this stage in his life and career. Or we do want, I should say, excuse me. He wants to make every season he has left count, and the Lakers understand that.
Well, maybe they used their second-round pick on someone who could help them instead of drafting this kid. Maybe they could have used that draft capital to, you know, do something. Now, how about that, LeBron? How about that? How about you don't run 7 billion coaches out of town? Hire your guy who has no coaching chops whatsoever, who made one of the dumbest decisions anyone has ever seen, literally not substituting anyone for about 28 straight minutes.
Because he's inexperienced.
You feel better about that?
I had my naps timed out, bro. Why does ring culture matter? 7 days later, I gotta leave. Don't think I can win a ring. Literally 7 days later. You can't make this up.
I mean, two things could be true. You could say that the ring culture doesn't matter and still wants to win championships. That's what's driving him at this stage. He's 40 years old. He's 40. Bring him in a Golden State uniform. Come on. Let's go with the Expendables. Can we keep Jimmy, Draymond, Steph, and LeBron somehow? Can that work? Come on. You know that'd be fun, Joe. You'd be all in. Don't lie to you. Don't lie.
They drafted his kid. And a year later, don't think I can win
you're
here.
You're so full of it. You're so full of it. We're going to come back on the other side.
And the charade that national media, Bronny and LeBron are just like Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. was 18 years old and the number one pick in the draft. Ken Griffey Jr. literally made the bigs by 20 years old and hit a home run with his dad who was in the outfield. They had a home run in the same inning, for Christ's sake. What are we talking about? It's the biggest sham ever. And we all went along with it, and it was all a big joke. No, LeBron's son, look, I good for the kid, all right? He had no business being drafted in the second round. And how dare you, after that team drafted your kid and gave him that money, do you sit here a year later and go, can't win here? We just drafted your kid!
We have some sound that we uncovered from a year ago that we're going to discuss on the other side. And what you spoke about one LeBron
I don't care
kid.
What I said a year ago.
Well, I do. And we're going to listen to it on the other side.
Today's today.
And it's going to be brought to you.
It's 2025. Things change.
No, the more things change, the more they stay the same, though. Brought to you by Ceremony Ford on 95.7 The Game. We'll get back into the Giants, I promise, because speaking of teams that are frustrating right now just as much as the Warriors, the Giants, their offense is putrid right now. I don't know if there's anything that can fix it. Can Bob Melvin do anything, quite frankly, to fix it? We'll talk to Bob Brenly, another Bob. Bob Brenly, former manager of the D-backs, former Giants catcher, joining us at 8:30, courtesy of River Islands. We'll discuss the series coming up because he is a current broadcaster, obviously, with the D-backs as well. Just a massive, massive NL West showdown starting right here on June 30th, Joe. This is kind of a make-or-break week for the Giants. I truly believe that. You're going up against your division rival that's also battling for a wild card spot. You're going up against a bad Sacramento, Las Vegas, California, Golden State, whatever you want to call them, A's team, that just is getting shelled at home. You're going to be playing in Sacramento, AAA ballpark. If your bats can't get going there, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't. And we'll take Willimer in here in a second to put a bow on this LeBron talk, but the Giants are the bugaboo right now in the Bay. And 888-957-9570, what is your panic meter in regards to the Gigantes? But first, Will and Marin, let's just get it out of the way. Will, you're taking LeBron on the Warriors right now if you could trade for him.
100%. Look, here's the thing, Shasky. I totally agree. He's very hypocritical and a sore loser at times. I understand there was a point in time where he was complaining about super teams when he was the one that created it in Miami. I also heard the interview about the ring culture that was very flip-floppy, but just hear me out. He's unstoppable. He's a great passer. He has a massive respect for Kerr. I just watched that Olympic documentary, the sixth episode. He really likes his philosophy, the way that he coaches. He absolutely loves Steph Curry. We would have swept Houston had we had him. He would have been that unstoppable force that we needed. He also would have been that bucket getter that we needed when Steph was out. Our panic meter wouldn't have been as big. It would have taken a lot less pressure off of Jimmy. I know we might have probably not been able to make that deal because we'd be paying him. But he also is a really good game manager, and his IQ is through the roof. He's like having a coach one on the floor. So I love LeBron as the player, but yes, I'm also very fatigued about LeBron with his attitude. But, I mean, think about it. When you have that much greatness in one building, he can't just be that locust. He can't do that with a Steph Curry or a Kerr. Those are two Hall of Famers in their own right. And then also with a guy with a dog like Draymond Green, he loves stuff like that. I think he would blend in phenomenally with the Warriors.
Well, it's too logical. You're being too logical. Listen, it's very simple.
You're being too logical.
Okay. Last year, we had Wiggins, and I was open to anything, and we didn't feel, you know, very optimistic. Now I want LeBron to die on the vine and go somewhere else and be ringless at the end of his career. I don't want him coming here. I'm over it. And there's no logical or rational opinion other than screw him. It's pretty simple to me. Yesterday, I wanted Chinese food. Today, I might want Mexican. Last year, I wanted LeBron. We had Wiggins. This year, I don't. We're overthinking this. It's okay.
And they already have their game manager. His name's Brandon Pajemski. See him at every single Valkyrie game, too, by the way. So we're good. We got a guy to handle the offense, a young phenom in Brandon Pajemski, baby.
We all know what LeBron is as a player. I'm done with LeBron. We're done. He needs to go. Just go away. Just go away. We don't want to hear from you.
Well, I want these bats to, like, go away right now for the Giants because they're struggling mightily, Joe. I'm tired of watching them. I'm getting bored like a girl Sandy in San Francisco. I'm with Sandy. I'm bored watching this offense. What can change?
Wilmer Flores is... He's in a really weird spot right now, and I want to bring him up for a very specific reason.
Real quick, before you get to that, on June 30th, we're talking Wilmer Flores being a key cog to the offense.
No, I don't think he is anymore. Like that, which is really like crummy. I think something happened. You know, B brought this up on Friday when he came in and he started working with us. In that last hour, he was like, you know, Wilmer, and I don't know. And like I watched all of his at-bats over the weekend. And this isn't about just this weekend. It's like the big picture. He's not a first baseman. Would you agree? Defensively.
Yeah, he's not.
Okay. And if he's not going to stay as your DH, because Devers is going to be your DH, like as much as I need to get his bat in the lineup, to me, he's a guy I would consider moving to get something back of value at a different position. And you might be taking a loss in terms of like, overall net value that it brings to the table. I think he's redundant given that he's a right-handed DH who can't play first base. I also think right now, if you were to bet on him the rest of the year, you're probably betting against him. Like him replicating what he did for the first 2.5 months versus what he's going to do going into August and into September, I don't think he's going to thrive later on in the second half.
Is there any chance this team could have gone just in a span of a few weeks from buyers to sellers at the deadline? Is that even?
We're not there yet. No, but I think they have
some trending things that, in that direction, or we're trending in no moves at all.
No. See, I forget the word buyer or seller. Right? I think they need to swap some things out. Right. Okay. So you give to get. Right. In this situation, you might be giving away a guy that brings more to the plate. In Wilmer Flores, I think you need to get something back, whether that's a starter, free up another position. Dom Smith should be playing first base defensively. Mm. And look, he is not going to hit the way he did early on, right? I understand that. But if Bryce Eldridge is not going to be playing for you, and I don't know what's going on with Devers defensively at first base, I personally would put Dom Smith at first base and I would try to move Wilmer Flores. And I like Wilmer. I know all the things he brings to the table. I think with Devers now as one of the leaders on the team, I think you're able to move Wilmer Flores and get something back. They need a legitimate power-hitting outfielder. And if that means I'm moving Yaz to center field and I'm playing some combination of Yaz and Jung-Hoo Lee because Jung-Hoo Lee has got an unmovable contract, then so be it. But I think they need to look for power in the outfield. I think they need to look for another starting pitcher. I think they need to look for a catcher. I'll take either of the catchers for the Chicago White Sox that we saw over the weekend. So I get back to Wilmer Flores and I say to myself, like, are you going to bet on him being as good as he was in the first half? Or are you going to bet against him?
888-957-9570. Bob Brenly joining us in an hour. Former manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, obviously played and coached with Bob Melvin. So he knows Bo Mel very well. And is there anything Bob Melvin could do right now? I want to ask Bob about that. Like, if he's been in this situation, because it's an up-and-down season. That's what it is. It's a game of runs, whether it's the pitching going well, whether it's the bats going well. Sometimes both are going well. Sometimes both are in the tank. But, like, what can you do right now if you're Bob Melvin? I'm genuinely curious. Is there anything Bob Melvin can do? 888-957-9570. And as far as, like, guys that are untradeable on this team? Because I do think that's interesting. Wilmer Flores, like the guy's getting older. He's like the grizzled vet on this team. He's about 33 going on 34. He's been up there. He doesn't really have a position on this team right now. So if you could move him for like a bullpen arm at the very least, like, yeah, I'd love that. I don't think you're going to get like a legit starting pitcher. Like Wilmer Flores, like, come on.
No, but no, they need they need another fourth or fifth starter, a fringe guy. I think like Landon Roop has been excellent.
Like a long man slash like spot starter.
Somebody that they could plot in. I think they need a veteran. And you don't know what's going to happen with Hayden Birdsong. And you don't know what's going to happen with Landon Roop in the second half. And you don't know if Carson Wisenhunt, who's in AAA, is going to be a contributor or not. I think they need another arm. And if you can get a catcher somewhere, I think you need to explore it.
Here's Bob Melvin. Was this from yesterday, Sammy? Bomel? Thumbs up. Bob Melvin on the Giants' inability to beat bad teams.
It's tough to win regardless. So we've beaten good teams. We've lost to teams that records aren't great. But, you know, every team in the big league's got a chance to beat you. And so we just have to get on the winning track no matter who we play.
I always love that. It's you know, baseball, it's not the same as football. Like, if the Niners were to lose to, I don't know, next year, who they play, but the Carolina Panthers, yeah, it'd be awful. Be horrible. It's like, you lost to that team that we know is a dumpster fire? That cannot happen. Like, and I got to credit Bob here because he's not trying to dump on other organizations. He's been a part of teams that were bad, too. I get it. You don't want to disrespect anyone. Will Venable, I'm sure he knows. I'm like, that's great. The fact of the matter is, you can't lose to the Chicago White Sox. You just can't. You can't lose to the Miami Marlins. You can't lose to these teams, Joe, and expect me to take you seriously when you're six games over right now. Like, at the very least, I'm expecting, can you just get a split against the Arizona Diamondbacks? That's literally all I'm at the minimum, get a split. Yes, if we take the three out of the four, that would feel great heading into a massive series against the A's before coming home. Like, all of a sudden, I did not expect a series against, you know, the A's, maybe, in the beginning of July, heading into next weekend, to be this important for this team going into the All-Star break. Because you got the Phillies, you got the Dodgers. You better take care of business this week. Because if you don't, you mentioned something earlier. Then I'm forgetting you. And I don't want to forget about the Giants. I don't want them to be, you know, buried at the bottom of our sports talk in the next couple months. I thought with that Devers trade, Joe, they could be there, you know, contending when it comes to our discussions with the Warriors, with the 49ers coming up. But they're in danger of becoming out of sight, out of mind. That's what you don't want.
Well, and I think that they're in a really precarious spot right now because Chapman's out, right, which is a huge hole. And then his backup, Casey Schmidt, is also out. And they haven't put him on the IL, so they've been a player short. Right, and in baseball, that's a big deal. Yesterday, could they have used a couple of pinch hitters off the bench?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Brett Wisely, we have to have a conversation. Look, he had a couple of hits and a double, I believe, that drove in some runs against the Marlins. His weekend, I'm sorry, the guy should be dropped. Mm-hmm. Like, dropped from the team right now. You cannot get picked off a third base in that situation. And then you're receiving a throw as the guy going to cover second base, and you fall over, and you can't tag the guy out? Did you see that slide over the weekend where the guy for the White Sox, like, came up, like, I don't know, a couple inches, half a foot short of the bag, and Wisely's, like, falling down and doesn't slap the tag on him?
Yeah, it was bad.
He got picked off Friday night, and then Saturday, I thought this was, like, if this was Marco Luciano, we would have said, get this guy out of here, don't ever bring him back.
Devers foul tips it, and they throw behind and got him! Oh my goodness.
Dave Fleming on the call, NBC Sports Bay Area, and Dave would go on to talk about it with Hunter there, and Hunter trying to be Mr. Positive, that's who he is to his core. I hear him, and Dave just flat out says, "Now that just cannot happen.
It's second,
it just can't happen.
Second and third, with no outs, yeah. Devers swings, and they called it a tip, and the guy catches it, so that's an out, right? It's a strikeout. And then they backpick the third base. Where are you going? Where are you going? And you know what? There's a conversation about Matt Williams regarding, like, and look, it's on the player. Where are you going? It's second and third, our best hitter at the plate. You're tagging up 99 out of 100 times, all right? Or you're waiting for it to get through because they had the corners in at minimum. I couldn't tell if the whole infield was in, but the corners were in. You're letting it get through. Stay near the bag. The worst thing that can happen in this situation is a back pick.
2 of 11 yesterday, Joe. Runners in scoring position. And over the weekend, it might as well have been 1 for 50, it felt like. Here's more from Bo Mel talking about the continued issues with the bases being loaded.
Yeah, 2 for 11, left 11 more on base. That's just kind of what we've been doing here recently. Whether the guys are trying too hard in certain spots, that's probably the case. You know, as far as Elliott there, he's in a 1-0 count, pretty good chance to get, you know, something to drive. And, you know, just got a sinker he couldn't get in the air. So they're working hard, doing the best they can with it. Obviously, it's not great right now. We just got to keep working and get through it.
Look, I don't know how what's being said in the clubhouse. I really don't. So I can't speak on any of that. But there's a part of me that wishes Bob Melvin would just be direct with it. Look, we got high-priced guys that aren't playing well right now. Jung-Hoo Lee and Willy Adames have got to fix their approaches. Period.
I mean, this is the second time we've seen this with the Bob Melvin club, with high-priced guys, high-priced bats, not producing.
Well, was that what? No, was that what really happened in San Diego? Or was it they just didn't get along?
Well, depending on who you ask, this was a thing, though. Like, I'm not putting this solely on Bob Melvin, but he's not above reproach.
Well, yesterday he lost me with not taking Ryan Walker out of the game.
Well,
and then I mean, look at this lineup yesterday. Now, I will defend him in the sense of like, hey, you got to try anything. You go Ramos, Devers, Flores, Yaz, and not even when Yaz is hot, like just we're just trying stuff.
Now, I will say this in
Yaz, Bob, the four hole?
I will say this in Bob's defense. When you just look at the collection of players, and you put this lineup against some of the other ones in the National League, which is stacked right now, like, I dare you to tell me if this Giants lineup is going to be better than the Padres, Cardinals, Brewers, Mets, Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers. Hell, the Diamondbacks, you're going to say, are going to be playing this coming week.
Joe,
hell, the A's. The A's might have better offensive players in their lineup than the Giants do top to bottom right now.
Joe.
Like, so there's part of me, Joe, that wants to be hard on Bo Mel, that wants to say, yeah, you know what? Man, this team they made a huge acquisition in Devers and they've somehow been worse. Like, how is that not on the manager? Well, it's a give and take, man. Like, it's on the manager, but it's also on the freaking players.
No, it's 100% on the players. But, I can't defend Yaz in the cleanup spot. I can't defend Ryan Walker staying in that game yesterday.
Yeah. What? He's searching right now.
No, I get that he's searching. Don't look there. Don't look at Yaz at cleanup. It's like, we've seen that. And we know what that is. Look, Joe, if you're the White Sox or any team in baseball and you look at the lineup card and you go, Yaz is batting cleanup. That's what they do. They laugh at that.
That's what I was basically just saying without saying it. Like, if I'm the Padres, Cardinals, Brewers, Mets, Phillies, Cubs,
yeah,
Dodgers,
they're laughing.
They're laughing. The Diamondbacks, hell, the Reds, who are red hot right now, they're 4 games over 500 all of a sudden.
I think their season is literally teetering. And I think this week against the Diamondbacks, if they don't take 3 out of 4, I could feel the bottom falling out on this team. They got D-backs, A's, Phillies, Dodgers to end the break. They look exhausted. And I continue to go to the two guys making a lot of money, and they have yo-yoed them around the lineup. We heard all offseason, Adames is your two-hole hitter. Adames is your two-hole hitter. Adames is your two-hole hitter. What's he batted? 25 times in the two-hole?
Yeah, about that. Feels like it.
And they've had to abort it. He's been awful. Awful offensively. And this week he's actually been good. But he's been awful offensively. And he swings at sliders and changeups away. It's like, God, just lay off it or go the other way.
And
Jung-Hoo Lee, I'm telling you, they need to either IL him or they need to consider benching him. Even for a week.
What's the answer right now, Giants fans? And I want to know the panic meter. Like, we were talking about the Valkyries earlier. The trade, you know, scenario. There's going to be trades happening in the NBA today, probably getting leaked. And again, we'll reference anything that happens. It comes across our timeline. The guys in the back, they're on it. Any Shams tweet, there's no Woj anymore. It's basically all Shams at this point. But any tweet we get from the Anthony Slaters of the world, right, in regards to the Warriors, we'll get that and we'll talk about it. But we have that. We have the Niners coming up, Joe. July's upon us. Training camp's going to be approaching very soon. And we're going to be all focused on football. Once we talk football, and I'm sure all of you saw the tweets yesterday from all the teams in the league, 10 more Sundays to go. You saw it. I saw it. I got a little bit excited. I was like, ooh, fantasy football is going to be there. What are the Niners going to be like this year? Christian McCaffrey, is he going to be healthy? Brock Purdy getting paid. George Kittle's been talking, right, with the tight end university. He's been talking about busting with the boys. Getting a lot of Kittle content lately. I'm excited to talk about the 49ers. I'm excited to talk about the Giants. Or I was, right? I was excited to talk about them. Sandy's saying she's bored. Richie in Queens, the Leroys in Oakland. Everyone's kind of being like, eh, I'm kind of out. And if I lose Richie in Queens and Sandy, then I lost everyone. I lost all the casuals at that point. How could they get my attention back this week, Joe? Going 6-1, going 5-2.
They got to win this series. They got to go 3 out of 4 in Arizona
at the very least,
at minimum. And okay. And they need some of these again. These high priced guys need to wake the heck up. Period. Yeah. I was thinking about Robbie Ray Saturday. He's throwing a gem. Okay, it's 0-0. It's the top of the sixth, and that was when that Devers at bat happened, where it's 2nd and 3rd. You got Brett Wisely at 3rd. I believe Christian Koss at 2nd base. All right, it's 0-0. It's the top of the 6th. You're pitching a gem. You're Robbie Ray, all right? And you don't score any runs in that situation. Mm. What does he do the very next half inning? Gives up a home run to Benintendi. Yeah. It's not even his fault. The ball just barely goes over Yaz's glove in right field. And we know that the humidity was through the roof in Chicago. Apparently it was super hot. And like, you look up, you're like, game over. 1-0. Game over.
That's the worst.
I'm trying to defend the pitching staff here. Like,
I know.
Could you imagine how difficult that is?
Oh, it's the worst. Well, you likened it to the NFL, right? Like, a 7-0 lead for the opposition. Oh, we're done. Touchdown, opening drive. Oh, we're cooked. Our offense can't do anything.
I'm watching Verlander yesterday. He comes out of the game. It's 2-1. And he's pacing in the dugout. Pacing back and forth in the dugout. And I'm thinking to myself, how are they going to blow this for this guy? And they found a way to do it.
He gave you some confidence, though, yesterday.
No, he pitched great yesterday.
I was actually very surprised and encouraged because it didn't start off very good. A lot of loud outs, heavy contact. But he settled in, got in his groove. And he's been, again, I know the numbers say he's been like, kind of teetering. I think he's been fine for the most part. Guy's been through a lot this year. He had a huge month off with a pectoral strain. He had a baby. Like, that's a lot on anyone's plate, Joe, let alone Justin Verlander, who's been there and done that throughout his career, one of the greatest pitchers, if not the greatest, of his generation. I think he's going to be fine. I thought Landon Roop pitched well. He's been pitching well. Robbie Ray. That's why it's so frustrating when you lose to the White Sox. You can't lose to this team. It's one thing if this happened against the Dodgers, Joe. I could have actually came away from the series. You know what? We were right there at the Dodgers. Some swings here or there. We win the series. But the White Sox, I can't defend that, man.
But here,
I can't. By the way, real quick, in the NFL, as we're talking about things that are happening, things are percolating, the Dolphins are trading Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers.
Oh.
Interesting. Well, the Steelers, they're sneakily doing a lot of things un-Steeler-like this offseason. Very, very un-Steeler-like operation going on with the likes of bringing in Aaron Rodgers, getting DK Metcalf, moving off George Pickens. A lot of wheeling and dealing from a team that normally doesn't do that. Continue, though, Joe.
Well, no, like, okay, like yesterday, I don't understand why he didn't go to Randy Rodriguez. Like, I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Duvall pitched Friday night. Randy Rodriguez pitched Friday night. They went to Eric Miller 2 days in a row, Saturday, Sunday. And then he had to get Ryan Walker in there. Like, just confidence around the room. I want to go around the room. Before he even went into the game, how are you feeling about Ryan Walker in general?
Oh, he was in my – remember we did our circle of trust last Friday?
Yeah.
He was teetering on my – he was like one bad
outing
away. I
have zero confidence in him
right
now. Exactly. Okay. Carter, how much confidence did you have in Ryan Walker before he even went into that game?
Not much.
Okay. Sam, how much confidence did you have in him?
I mean, you guys know me. I like Ryan Walker a lot. But when I see him in the bullpen, I just feel like the Giants are doing him a disservice right now. He needs to go to Sacramento and find himself.
The guy is good for one hit batter or a balk, it feels like, every outing. And they don't go to Randy Rodriguez. It's a 2-1 game. It's one of your best pitchers all year. He's got a day of rest. Do you know something I don't? Was his arm hurt? Was he fatigued? Like, what's going on here? Well, and then when everything starts going haywire, you don't go out and do a mound visit? Calm him down? Get the bullpen up and ready? Go to Randy Rodriguez? See, now, look, I'm not here for the, it's Burrow's fault that Adamas can't pay $200 million. Adamas needs to wake up. What I am here for is, why are you going to Ryan Walker? What are you trying to prove here?
Well, and prior to Ryan Walker, who else has been struggling as of late? Eric Miller.
Leaving balls up in the zone.
I mean, that's bad.
Really quick, just a note on yesterday. Bob Melvin said after the game that the plan was Walker in, I believe, that sixth inning. And then the plan was if the game was still closer, if they were ahead, they were going to have Randy in the eighth inning because Tyler Rogers was not available.
That was the high leverage situation in the game. Was right then and there. Like, the game was over after that. And
well,
now
if he goes to Randy there, does he go to Ryan Walker in the eighth inning then?
You still have Tyler Rogers.
No, Tyler wasn't available.
Oh, he wasn't available. I mean, of course.
He wasn't available. Of course. What do you want to do? They still have the best bullpen ERA, by the way, but it's steadily approaching the threes.
How was he
not
available?
Like it was a one the other day.
I don't understand.
My guess is because he had probably pitched several days in a row.
Well, he didn't pitch on Friday night. He pitched on Saturday. See, I just
don't want to do back-to-back.
I'm just the messenger
here.
Well,
I know. I'm not trying to... This is where I want...
I'm not going to speak for Bob at that point, though. Yeah, I'm just reiterating what he said. As to your question, why not just go with him anyway? Yeah, he threw five pitches on Saturday, Tyler Rogers.
I mean, they must have been very... The high leverage is very difficult stuff.
But this is where I think we need better follow-up, right? Like, is it an arm thing? Is he just unavailable in back-to-back days, period, no doubt about it? Like, what is it? Because, again, was that not the moment in the game where the game was going to be won and lost? Considering how poor your offense is.
I have no rebuttal.
That was the inflection point of the game. So, I want to hold off on Randy Rodriguez. Well, you didn't get to use him. So, you didn't even get to that card.
So, Tyler Rogers pitched, 27th, 28th against the White Sox for those first two games. He had pitched up against the Marlins on the 25th, June 22nd. The Red Sox, not a lot of usage.
That's
for
what
one.
I'm saying.
It's not a lot of usage for
now,
him.
Now, that doesn't account for him getting up in games where maybe they don't go to him or what he's doing in bullpens in between. Like,
also, like, very
hasn't thrown 90 miles an hour. Like,
very
I get
few,
it's a herky-jerky approach, but...
Oh, sorry. Very few relievers have thrown more innings over the last few years than Tyler Rogers. So, I mean, I'm sure that probably overall body work maybe factors in, too. But, again, I don't think any of that absolves the decision from yesterday.
Look, the point stands right here. I don't think Bob's been great in the last 3 weeks when it comes to the pen. Just in general, and his feel for how long to keep a guy out, whatever. Like the other day with Brevins, I could see that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think his feel has been great. And I also think that this team, every small miscalculation when it comes to the arms becomes blown out of proportion because the offense can't score any runs.
I do think, though, as we're talking about this, like, if this team does collapse, which I don't say this lightly, they're teetering on collapsing here in a second, Joe. I'm not saying that lightly. This team with this offense, the way they're playing, the bullpen showing some leaks. The starting pitching, they're keeping it up. But you know what? For how long? How long can the starting pitching do this mentally?
Don't know.
I don't know. These are not pitcher-friendly ballparks you're about to be in.
Joe,
Arizona's a house of horrors has been a house of horrors for the Giants. We know. Sacramento, it's a triple-A ballpark. And then you're coming back here against two of the best offenses in baseball. Yeah, the Schwarbers of the world, the Bryce Harpers of the world, the Trey Turners. Shohei, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, they're coming here next week. Like, they're teetering on maybe collapsing here before the All-Star break. And then, if you lose me before the All-Star break, why would I pay attention after it? We're going to have all that time off, and then what? I'm all focused on what? The NFL. Don't blow this opportunity, Giants. You have to salvage this week. Get back home. Be within a striking distance of the wild card. Be around it. Because if you're not, I got bad news for you. You're going to be out of sight, out of mind going forward. Now, I just hope I'm wrong. And if they do truly collapse, Joe, and they do not make the playoffs and they fall flat on their face, I am looking at the manager maybe if I'm Buster Posey saying, yeah, maybe it is time for a change. I didn't hire him.
Who's playing well right now?
Elliot Ramos.
Okay.
That again, but he's been struggling as of late.
Yeah. I mean, like that.
Christian Cox. Great.
That's not good enough.
No.
That's not good
like
enough.
Like, outside of the starting pitchers, who I think have been, for the most part, pretty good. Like,
no, when I say who's playing well, I mean more like the everyday players.
That's where I'm going. The Ramos, maybe, but he's even been struggling. He's batting like 295 just a blink of an eye ago. He's batting 278 now. Patrick Bailey's he's searching out there. He got a double yesterday, whatever. Willie Adames, he's been struggling. Yaz, 1-for-5 yesterday. Flores, as you've alluded to, he doesn't have a position right now. He was on base 3 times, but... couple walks. Wisely is just searching. I mean, Brett Wisely's playing baseball for you right now.
They had Casey Schmidt in the lineup. Was it 2 days in a row and then scratched him?
Yeah, no, he was in the lineup. He was in the first lineup that was posted yesterday, and then the new lineup came out. I guess he did some hitting in the cage before the game and was like, nah, I'm not feeling
it.
Push
him.
I don't want to spoil the injury report.
Yeah. Oh. That's he doesn't want to spoil the injury report.
Brett Wisely should have been sent down like after Saturday's game.
Well, he might. You might get sent down.
You
today.
Get picked off Friday, and then you get picked off at third base on Saturday in a 1-0 game, where it's 0-0, and you have the best hitter on the team up. It's so inexcusable. You know, like, that's Little League type stuff, Joe. That's literally Little League stuff.
Let's see. What's my guy Marco Luciano doing in AAA? Not a whole hell of a lot, batting 219 down there with 12 home runs. But you
on
know
this
what?
Team, that might be an upgrade.
What about Wade Meckler hitting 280, and they're playing him at second base?
Might as well.
Let's go down that whole rabbit hole again.
Let's see it.
Bring him up.
Why not? At this point, and somebody made this text message from the 510. Who on the Giants doesn't need to go to Sacramento to find themselves?
That's a great question. That, I mean,
I'm most disappointed in the Adamas.
Jung-Hoo Lee, like I'm not bringing like.
No, Adamas is Adamas right now is maddening to watch.
If you send any of those, I'm just telling you right now, Joe. If you send any of those players down to AAA, they're cooked. They're done. I don't want to. You might as well.
Jung-Hoo Lee might be cooked.
Yeah, if he gets sent down to AAA making that much money, I'm done. I'm like, that happens to guys that your career's kaput. Like, you do that to like the Chris Davises of the world and with Baltimore. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
When he was searching for high heavens and they just tried any given way. What was he like? 0 for 50 at one point or something like that? They just refused to send him down to AAA because he was making so much money. Like,
they got to get out from underneath this J.H. Lee. Contract.
What do you do?
I think you got to eat some of the money and you got to move him.
Okay, just with a trade, just somehow package. Look,
defensively,
him.
He's solid. He is. He's solid. There's no doubt about it. But offensively, he's so bad right now, and I just don't see him adjusting to what everyone's throwing. They're throwing him soft away, or they're pounding him inside, and he thinks he's a power hitter. How many times has this guy popped up? How many times is he lunging and rolling over to second base?
A lot.
Like, adjust, my guy. You got to adjust.
Yesterday, 0-for strikeout. Day prior, 0-for. Day prior to that, 0-for.
And he's not stealing bases.
I mean, Marlins, he had two hits in that series. Two hits.
He made a really nice play in center field yesterday on a ball, I think in the second or third inning, that Verlander hit Verlander got hit off into the gap. And it was a really nice play. But for defense, like, you can go get Grant McCrary right now, and he'll play some defense as well.
It's pretty incredible that I'm just watching I'm just looking at the game logs right now, and the steady decline from the average alone.
He's 6 for 56, Joe.
It's alarming. He was batting at one point. Let's see what his highest was. Like, legitimate. I know early on in the season, he'd be batting like 400, 3-something, whatever. But let's see here. Let's go to May 5th or 3rd. Right, May 3rd right now, he's batting 312, right? Since then, go all the way to the end of May, batting 277. All right. End of May, 277. Start of June, batting 277. We're about to the end of June, batting 243. I mean, that's the proof is in the pudding. That's 2 months, Joe, of sample size. Well, this guy's just not a good hitter.
You know what he's entering? The Shinjo zone.
Oh, no.
You guys can laugh, but like Shinjo batted 238 for the Giants. Now,
it's not a good zone.
What?
No, it's not the Twilight
Zone. That's not a good zone to be in.
It's not the Tony and Oakland zone. That's where I wanted
it. I didn't say it was, but like, Shinjo was a 238 hitter, had 9 homers, 37 RBIs, and 15 doubles. Do we think, he's got 6 right now. Do we think this guy's going to have that many doubles? I mean, he's got the 17 doubles right now. Like, I don't know, man.
That's what's frustrating, too, because I did think he would have the chance, and he did start off as one of, like, your fun players, like the most fun guy to watch on this team because of the speed, because he has a flair for the dramatic, it feels like. Now it's a flair for the undramatic. That's what he has a feel for right now. It's just bad. It's not fun to watch.
He doesn't drive the ball.
What can you do? We're going to talk to Bob Brenly. I mean, the guys can only do so much as a manager, right?
Yeah,
right?
I know. I know.
Like, can you put him in a position to succeed right now? Do you take the days off? Like, I feel like Bob's done that in the past because he's played so damn much. Bob's already done that when you have like a baked-in off day, and that's another part of this, Joe. Like, when's the next off day they had? I'm looking at their schedule right now.
They played for 16 straight days. That's what they're in the middle of right now.
Let me see right now. 16 straight. So, yeah, they start off again. Yeah, they're playing the Phillies Monday. It's all the way through the All-Star break.
Damn. That's why right now they're in a spot like it's make or break time for their season. It really is. I don't know if they can dig themselves out of this hole if they lose 3 or 4 to Arizona. I just don't. And then you got the Dodgers and the Phillies after the A's. I really believe right now is the time that they might need another move or two.
I mean, I hate to do the blame game because we do this in society and it's a team thing.
They just might not be good enough. And they might have just signed the wrong guys. Like, I'm getting to the point with Willie. Like, I like Willie. I'm rooting for Willie. Willie, if he does not adjust, in my mind, all I could see is either him swinging over the top of a slider away or him swinging under a fastball up and in.
I mean, how big of a bust would he be in the history of the Bay Area sports right now? If you're just to move off of that contract out for a year, like, given what he was the highest paid player in the history of the franchise. Has there been a worse buyer's remorse?
Buster Posey's first big move after officially taking the job.
I wanted to get to that, Sammy. It's a good point. Like, Buster Posey now. These are your big moves, Devers and Adames, and they're not producing. How patient are you going to be with Buster Posey in this regard? I get it. He's the face of the franchise. He is an all-time giant. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Should we be coming down Buster Posey's road a little bit right now, Joe?
I think it's up for debate. Now, look, the Devers deal will end up being, you know, if it's a monster move and he starts hitting, he's another guy. He needs to wake up.
Well, that's,
but if he starts hitting, I think that can salvage everything. Zito is hands down one of the worst contracts of all time in Giants history. Matt Morris, like there are guys, Armando Benitez, Denard Span, Mark Melancon. This Adames one has an opportunity to be right there with Zito.
Jung Hooley. Yeah, as you mentioned, Jung Hooley.
Jung Hooley's not great.
Right,
yeah. Jung Hooley's not great. Here's the thing with the Adames one. Like, he doesn't even look anything like a prepared hitter right now at the plate. What is his approach?
Hacking. So his approach is the same as me on a golf course, Joe. I'm hacking, trying to hit a driver.
I'm
slicing left and right.
The book is out. Throw these guys breaking balls away, and they will chase, and then throw them hard in, and they will have the bat on their shoulders.
You know, Sam said something interesting. Sam Lovin, by the way, Orchard Black Weekend Wrap, crushing it with Dan Devone on Saturdays. The best Giants talk in the Bay. You can hit me up, Sam, if you want a guest. Yeah, you want to do that occasionally? You can hit Joe Shasky up, sure, too. Baby LJ. I'm just throwing Joe.
I mean, Willard hits me up all the time to be a guest on his show.
I've been hearing that a lot lately. Yeah.
Some of my best stuff.
Some of your best work is there?
Yeah.
Outsourced, do you get paid extra for that?
No,
you don't get extra hit?
No,
you don't do that?
I'm hoping that Mark knows that maybe I'll take like a box of Pro V1s or something like that.
Well, he was golfing over the weekend, I think, with their contest, right? Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Yeah, I thought I saw the Zucci man out there.
Yes, you did, Zucci. Yeah.
Zucci wins every contest here.
Hey, you know what I loved about Zucci man? He was wearing a plain white tee to the golf course. I respect that.
I dig it.
I respect that so much. I know Zucci man's listening. He's probably chiming in on the text line right now. 888-957-9570.
Joe, the Adames contract is not good. Well, like we could see this coming a mile away. Like, it's okay to admit it out loud. Adames, great dude. We're all pulling for you. We love what you bring to the table. My God, did they overpay for him? Like, it's okay. Like, all these things can be true. All of them. Like, I like the guy. I'm rooting for him. I'm pulling for him. It's a clear overpay. Even if he ends up hitting some more home runs and the batting average comes up, he's not a $200 million player. He's just not.
We had this conversation like a month into it, or hell, like 2 months into it, I felt like. But the more untradeable contract between Brandon Ayuk or Willy Adames right now, I do wonder. In a weird way, I think you'd get more value with Brandon Ayuk as an injured player than you would with Willy Adames coming back as a quote-unquote healthy player. As insane as that sounds, I do think you would get more back from Brandon Ayuk if you were to trade him right now than you would with Willy Adames. And that's how low I think of Willy Adames right now as a batter in the box. It's just—it's not good.
Think of their three big moves. Devers, he's 10 for 46. It's early. You know, we'll see. You sign Matt Chapman. He was older. I wanted them to sign Chapman. Well, now he's hurt, right? So think about this. Like, he's hurt. Verlander, the results haven't been great.
He's been solid.
I think he's been okay, but the results have not been great. Would you agree?
Yeah.
He's been fine. What are some of the other moves? Signing Willy Adames, it's not been good. It's okay. We can admit it. It's not been good. Doesn't mean it's the end-all, be-all. He could still get better, but it hasn't been good. You probably severely overpaid. And I'm pulling for Posey. Everything's been looking good. The team is 5-6 games over 500. I get it. I do feel like they overachieved early on, and since then, it's been a struggle bus.
I will give credit, though, to Buster Posey and the staff and everything with the Landon Roop. Putting him and plugging him in as a starter early on, it's worked out. So, like, as all the...
Roop was here last year,
I know he was last year, but
you.
I'm saying, like, making him a focal point of the rotation early on, I know he was here last year, but I'm going to give credit to the staff right now when it comes to him, because the starting pitching, it has worked for the most part. Birdsong, he's hit some rough patches here and there, but, like, for the most part, he's been pretty freaking good. We know with Robbie Ray and Logan Webb, they've been ballers all year long, and Verlander is my fourth/fifth guy. He's been fine. Again, I don't want to have to rely on those guys to have perfect baseball, basically, for the rest of the season. Can the bats pick them up at all? Hopefully. In the meantime, Sammy,
they need Devers to ball out this week.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
And with Chapman out, that put all the focal point on one Casey Schmidt, But now the Giants are in wait-and-see mode when it comes to Casey. He was scratched from the lineup yesterday due to lingering concerns with his injured wrist that was hit by a pitch against the Marlins last week. Schmidt took some swings in the cage pregame before it was determined he was not good to go. He will undergo an MRI in Arizona today, which will likely determine if he goes on the IL or not. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California, premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got Bob Brenly, former manager of Arizona Diamondbacks and former San Francisco Giants player, joining us at 8:30. We'll talk about this matchup against the D-backs in the desert coming up here, what he's seen from the Giants, and what he would tell Bob Melvin, his former coach and his staff that won a World Series back in 01. Hey, it's something I've noticed. Maybe you could do this. And, you know, Bob Brenly's like working for the D-backs, so he's probably not in the habit of giving out all the secrets that he's got. But, you know, you like to lean on your, you know, former coaches. And like, as you lean on Bill Lasky's of the world, Joe, when it comes to coaching and pitching and all that, is there anything that Bob Melvin could do to shake this team up right now? What kind of shakeup would you like to see? Are you panicking right now? And if you're not panicking,
I am.
If you're not panicking, why? Like, this is panic mode right now. You are in danger of becoming out of sight, out of mind, Giants, when it comes to the Bay Area, when it comes to the sports. We got free agency opening up in the NBA. We got Niners training camp coming up. We got the Valkyries balling. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up in the game. And this will be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Just sell and just fire everybody.